excited.
But hey, guys.
This is Simone.
This is Sarita.
And this is Clean Ears.
Woo! Scare me.
Welcome back. Sarita's not ready for this energy level that I have today.
No, though. I'm not. I don't know what's going on with this one, but she's on.
I'm tired!
Okay. Yep. Okay. 110.
I just got that little boost of energy. You know how it is like when you're hungry and you feel super drained and you eat something, you're like, ah. That's how I feel right now. Like I'm good now.
Okay. So, yes. How are you?
I'm good. Have not had any allergy problems. I've taken short walks and I have not died.
Look at you!
I know,
making it through these seasons and things.
Yes, and also just celebrated Mother's Day with my mama.
Oh,
yes.
Yay, mom.
Yes, we actually took her to the place that we wanted to take her for her birthday because it snowed on her birthday and we had to cancel our plans. Really? So she was glad to finally get her birthday dinner. And I hope she's not looking for a Mother's Day gift too. So I should probably, I might delete that. That was Mother's Day, mom. How you been?
I'm alright, man. I'm trying not to be sick again. Well, I am sick again. Guys, pray for a girl.
Oh. We gon' make it. Did you have a good Mother's Day?
My Mother's Day was me being sick. And oh, no. My mom watching me be sick, so that was fun.
You know what, Miss Sally's loyal. So if you sick, we gonna be sick together.
Basically. She was just out here being awesome.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
So, guys, thank you so much for all of the love that we've been getting on social media about our new music. We appreciate that very much. Thank you for rocking with us while we are switching some things up and trying to be more excellent and more original, because that allows us to go to more places. So we thank you guys for just participating and giving feedback, too, because it helps us be better. And just as a reminder, guys, the playlist is still available. It is on Spotify. You can access that through our site still, www.cleanearshow.com. Or you can go right to Spotify directly and find us at clean_ears_podcast. So we're still giving you a full playlist, even though you're not hearing all of the songs on the show. We still enjoy listening to all sorts of rap goodness and putting it in front of you. So we've not taken it away because it brings us joy too.
Not at all. Check it out.
So, guys, we're going to jump right into the musical goodness that has been coming out and is coming out shortly, depending on when you listen to this. We like to think that you listen to it as soon as it drops. You wake up, you get these prayers off, read these scriptures, and then you listen to Clean Ears. So, first we got Belief's album, In Fatherhood.
Yes.
It is out right now, and it is wonderful. It is very vibey. It is very solid rhymes. One curse word. That hurt my heart.
Belief.
That hurt my heart, but you know what? But the album is out now. I wish I could tell you where it was or what song it was on so that you could, you know, do what you feel like you need to do.
Earmuffs.
I don't know.
For the children.
Get the clean version. I'm just playing. No, I'm just playing, guys. But yeah, it's out now. I absolutely love it. I will actually be sharing one of the songs in What's in Your Headphones, because there's one of them that I promise you might be my theme song.
Also out now is Joey Jewish, The Vontez Project. Mm-hmm. He's giving us all the West Coast vibes, so you know that I had to definitely represent. Again, another vibey one.
Dear East Coast, where y'all at? Because, I mean, we got all these West Coast drops, and I need to have a conversation with my people on my coast.
Let them know.
Rude. And also, coming out on June 2nd, the Molly Music is going to be dropping The Transition of Molly. Just know that it's major. If those words don't mean anything to you right now, then just write it on your calendar anyway and just, you know, trust it.
Just trust us. Have we steered you wrong? Just get in there. Don't say nothing.
I'm so scared.
Somebody always say yes because I hated this song. You know what? Forget
if did,
you.
If we did, I'm sorry. Sometimes I'll be having a rough time.
This episode of Clean Ears features music by Jared Sanders featuring Sharon, Belief, and Monica. please visit www.cleanyourshow.com for the full playlist for this episode, and follow us on Spotify at clean_ears_podcast for our past playlists. We hope you enjoy what's in our headphones. We actually have a very cool subject to talk about. I feel like our relationship episodes always go real happy-go-lucky. People seem to really enjoy those. So we're kind of getting back into it, but in a different direction, a different way.
Yes.
And we're just talking about bae.
Yes. So
let's pray first before we get really, really into it. Because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Yes. All right. If you're driving, keep your eyes open. Everybody else, shut it down.
That's right.
God, we love you so much, and we really appreciate all of the ways that you love us and you show us love, even in the people that you bring into our lives. And we pray right now that you give us the right words to say and the advice to give when it comes to a person that you bring into your life. And we pray in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, y'all.
So today, we are talking about something that you hear oh so much in church.
Yep.
So basically, you know, you meet somebody, thank you, or you're dating somebody, and their views on Jesus are just not quite the same as yours, like right. Sometimes even opposite. And so we are here to discuss why is it important to marry a Christian and to like date a Christian, because before you marry him, you gotta date him. So just connecting the dots for everybody,
right?
Trusting that we're all at a reasonable level, but also I want to be careful to not leave anything, or at least not leave too much unsaid.
Correct the mundo.
Yes, because with relationships, naturally we want to compromise and make people fit. And so it's like I try to make sure I explain everything to a T, just because that one word that you don't say, it's like, well, if I got to marry a Christian, then I got all our dating period to save this guy. So that's why we're talking about dating and marrying a Christian. Those go together.
Now, I know for a lot of people, they may not have heard that before, or you're just not sure, especially if you are just became a Christian. Like, how is that supposed to occur? Or you're coming with a lot of baggage from your own life of how this dating situation is supposed to work. So let's just hit you with some of the things you may have heard before out here in the world and even in church.
Man. One of the common misconceptions is that, you know, we got to be tolerant. And, you know, if you're tolerant, then that is to be open to dating people of different religions and different backgrounds. You know, as long as they're not stopping you from going to church, as long as he or she is cool with you still getting up and going to church without them, then y'all good.
Another one is people believing that you're being judgmental, or Christian judgmentalism is part of rejecting someone from the dating pool just for not being saved, and you just don't want to be judgy.
Another one is, if I date someone who's not a Christian, then I can get them saved. Like, I'm supposed to be light in a dark place, right? How am I supposed to win this soul for Jesus if I'm telling this fine potential man of God?
He don't know his calling. I see a calling on his life.
That's what I'm saying.
And I see a ring on my finger. Yes, Jesus.
But our baby's going to be so pretty.
Another one I've heard from my ladies.
Jesus.
And I'm not that mad at this one. I'm just saying. Hey. I've heard Christian men ain't got no swag, though. You know, y'all get saved and soft. I don't understand.
Y'all be mighty in prayer. But soft in life.
Soft in life. You just ain't got no bass in your voice. Jesus took all the bass out.
Now, men, before y'all come for us, notice we said these are common misconceptions.
Y'all may want to work on that stereotype, though. I'm just saying.
And honestly, I don't even know what guys say about girls. I was thinking about it today, so I don't know what y'all be saying. So, I mean, enlighten me if there's an equivalent on y'all's side, so we can bridge this gap. Because just like y'all probably want to prove to us that y'all aren't soft, we would also like to, you know, whatever it is that y'all are saying or not saying or whatever, we would like to, you know, answer to that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Bridge this gap. Sure. Get some folks together. So, with all of that being said, God had quite a bit to say about dating people who are not saved. And you guys already know where this is going. So please just go ahead. Let me give you 2 seconds to just like, y'all ready? All right, now that you're done. Mm-hmm. In 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 18 that you already turned to because you knew. The word says, do not team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? I like how it starts out really simple and then, I mean, like really complicated. And then it's like, what harmony? Like, just in case you didn't know. I love it. How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? That hurt me reading it. For we are the temple of the living God. As God says, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. And I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was long. I need to rest. But it was good.
Exactly. It was so good. The church in Corinth, that this is who Paul is talking to, they were struggling with how to live for Christ in a world that is corrupt, same as us right now. Mm. And they're saying that you need to be equally yoked in relationships and dating, and it's not a restriction to us, it's a protection for us. It's like a safe place.
Yes, it is infinitely easier to live for Jesus when you and your mate are on the same page. Because it may not seem like that in the beginning, but there will come a time where your difference in beliefs will come to a head. And then at that point, it will have to be addressed. Mm-hmm. So once upon a time.
Here we go.
Story time.
Yes.
Once upon a time, your friend Simone was dating somebody who was not saved. I know, guys. Oh, my goodness. Don't take my pedestal. No, I'm just playing. Don't put me on the pedestal, y'all. My life is a mess. So, so I was kind of just, you know, I was going to church, but I was still living my own personal life when we started dating. And then I started getting closer to Jesus while we were dating. It's probably Saritha's fault because we met after.
Dang.
So, well, I started going to small group and getting all extra saved.
Unhappy homes.
I'm telling you. It's probably your fault. And so, you know, what was interesting to me was that in the beginning, like, that was a question that was always on my mind. Like, hey, man, before I get too deep up in this thing, I know that he's not saved, but I need to know, like, why do I need to be with somebody who's saved? And I actually spoke to someone from church, and I get the answer that they gave, but I also don't get it. The person I spoke was like, hey, man, y'all just got to break up. And I was like, okay, why? And then they read that scripture to me, and I was like, okay. And then they told me to read a certain book of the Bible, okay. And I was like, that's not really giving me anything that I can work with. I'm not saying that you got to sell it to me, but you got to at least explain. Like, you know, like, I came for answers. Now all I got is questions. And so part of the reason why we wanted to have this conversation and why I wanted to share this with you guys was because I don't want you to walk away with the scripture and say, oh, the Bible says not to be unequally yoked. I don't even understand what that means. And one scripture is not enough in my mind for me to just leave somebody. Please understand. I get it. So I continue to grow with Christ. And just like I said, at some point it's going to come to a head. At first we were doing a lot of the same things. And this person wasn't an evil person. It wasn't like he was bringing me to Satan parties on the weekend. Like, because sometimes when we think of people who are not saved in like darkness, people think like we're just going to hell on Saturday and I'm going to church by myself on Sunday. Not quite. But as I started growing closer to God, what I found was that we just started to relate less. You know, my conversation and his conversation were just very different. I'm trying to wake up and get ready to go to church. You listening to rap music at 8 a.m. while I'm trying to get ready for church. And I'm like, wow. And yes, we were living together because let me tell you, listen, if you're going to go down the dark path, do it in excellence. And so, at least that's how I felt. I was sinning in excellence.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
I know. But yeah, but then things kind of got like super separated to a point where, you know, like I said, we were living together. And I remember one day I was like, look at me. The house is all clean. I just washed the dishes. Everything is looking all good. I'm going to make a good wife. Look at me being all wifely. The Holy Spirit said to me, oh, he's never going to appreciate any of this stuff because he's not your husband. that. I'm standing in my kitchen by myself with my jaw open like, you've got to be freaking kidding me. I was like, was that you?
He's saying full sentences. He was like,
no, when I tell you, it shook me. But it got to the point where I was serving at church and I was serving in leadership. And I say that not as any kind of a brag, but for anybody who has served or is serving in leadership, you spend a lot of time at church. Mm-hmm. So I'm spending a lot of my time at church, hanging out with my small group and this and that. And he is nowhere to be found because he's not trying to touch that life. So we're naturally separating because you're not into the things I'm into. And I can come to your stuff, but you can't come to mine. Or you say you can't come to my stuff.
Jesus isn't in, you know, they don't like to be too close. I know. He be changing people, you know.
So then things came to a head several occasions. Well, but the primary thing that let me know I had to get out of it was Easter weekend. And this Easter was a little bit significant in that Easter fell on April 20th. I'm going to pause. 420. It was Easter on 420. And our plans definitely collided in that he wanted to be somewhere and I was all about that Super Bowl Sunday life at church. I was serving that weekend. And it was just in my mind, serving and seeing all of these married couples serving together. And I just had this sinking feeling of, I'm never, never going to have that. And even though I was fortunate to still be growing closer to God while I was in that relationship, we were growing further and further and further apart. And it got to the point where I was like, I gotta get out of this thing. Mm. It became so heavy on me. Imagine dealing with heavy conviction all day, every day. And that became my life. And it was hard because everything I did, I'm like, I don't want to make no plans. He'd be like, what are you doing this weekend? And I'm like, I don't know that you're going to be here. I don't want to commit to nothing. I'm struggling. I'm stressed. And I'm like, that's not how you should feel dating somebody. And God was trying to pull me out of it. But guys, just to be clear, for anybody who's with somebody and you're like, well, we've been together for so long. We were together for years. We lived together. So when I say that, you know, I still had to sever that to honor God, you can do it. It's harder than a mug, but you can do it. But I was sharing all of that just to say, seeing it lived out, it became all the more important to me. And I was like, I ain't dating nobody who don't know Jesus. If your views are wishy-washy, if you don't go to church, if you, listen, stop it. Kerosene. But I'm sorry, that was like a legit amount, small amount of young thug.
I can't help it, you said wishy-washy.
My bad. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I wasn't ready. But I don't remember what I was saying. But I say all of that to say, man, it's hard. It's real life. And it got to the point also where God was like, how long are you going to let this go? Because y'all are not going to be together. So you can either wait until y'all, you can get married, you can have kids and all that stuff, but y'all ain't going to be together. So do you want to start over like now or later? Because the Holy Spirit talks to me in the way I need to be spoken to. And so those are the conversations we had. Saritha, do you have an unequally yoked story?
Nah, man.
Saritha said, when I got right, I've been right.
I'm sorry, man. God was like, I ain't letting nothing touch you.
Girl.
I'm in like a little single bubble until God pops that thing. But it really has been, because that's one of my biggest fears of being unequally yoked. And I don't want to, I'm just
bad. Girl, don't do it. It was a tough time in life for your girl. And honestly, like, you don't want to do somebody like that, Lord. Like, you don't want to be feeling that way towards somebody. Like, hey, if you don't care and you want to be over there, I just feel like you need to just be free to do that. But as for me, you know, it was a hard thing to do. So if anybody's in it right now, like I said, understand that you can get out. And if you're not in it and you feel like you're on the cusp and you feel like Christian men are whack, and you might just take that off your list to widen your selection pool.
Or Christian women are whack. I don't
know. Oh, yeah. Dudes. Or Christian, that's right. Or, you know, say wherever it is, if you're feeling like, wherever you stand, if you feel like, you know, on my whole list of things, it's the Christian part that's causing me the most problems. I promise you, do not take it off your list. You just don't want to dance with darkness, man. It's not the move.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Girl, I'm stressed.
Man, I need thank a moment. You for sharing, though. I mean, one of the things that we need to understand is that when we give our lives to God, He makes our body the new temple. Mm-hmm. And as followers of Christ, the Spirit dwells inside of you. And that's why God calls us to come out of the world and be separate. We're supposed to still love the world, but we're not in the world. And that also means our relationship can't be tied like that to the world. Mm. We're set apart. And you can't partner with something that you're supposed to be set apart from. You realize the situation and the problem in that. It'll cause you to compromise. It just will.
Yep.
So if you are trying to just be equally yoked and you're trying to do this whole Christian dating thing, how?
Let me tell you. The first thing you want to do, slow down. Slow down. I feel like I've heard like one too many stories of people who just like met and got married in 3 months. And we want that life because it's quick. We want to get it over with. We want to get to the legal smashing. And let me tell you something. Y'all, leave me alone.
No, it's real. So,
but I'm serious. And so it's like, you know, we want to bypass. We want to bypass the dating stuff and get to what we feel is the good part. But if God is in it, it's all good. Mm-hmm. And even though that may sound a little cliche, like, it's absolutely true. Like, I'm in zero rush to take zero trips. Like, I'm good. And, you know, God is in it, and things are good, and I'm enjoying it. And when the time comes, it'll also be lit. You know, but until then, I'm cool to date. I feel like we're not okay to date. We're not okay to be together.
Right.
Everybody's just immediately on their way. And if that works for somebody and they have complete peace about it and God has spoken it to them both, that's one thing. But you know yourself, and you know if it's feeling rushed, you know if you're rushing it or if you're being rushed. So slow down and take the time that you need to.
Yeah, I know too many people who, for them, the only box is the Christian box. Mm. So when they find somebody who is a Christian, they just fast forward through the whole rest of the situation, and you still want to get to know them as a person. Like, you are marrying a person.
Yes.
And you should know them.
Yeah, because it's also possible, just like Saritha said, one of her biggest fears is being unequally yoked. It's also possible to be two Christians who are unequally yoked. Mm-hmm. And I took this dating class at church, and one thing that they taught me that just stuck with me more than anything else that I've heard, it was all wisdom, but that I took with me. I asked, well, if I'm a Christian and he's a Christian, how do I know if we're equally yoked? And then she told me to assess the fruit of the life of that person. And that reminds me of John 15:5 that says, yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. I'm sorry, I was thinking about abiding in the vine.
Oh, abiding.
That's how we got abiding's name, y'all, from this very verse. But yeah, there are levels to the Christian faith. Like, somebody can accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, and somebody could have just grown up in church. So you got to be mindful of how bold. Is a check in bold face? Is it in a Sharpie or is it in a pencil?
I mean, there's so many things. You can think of, hey, I'm called to be a missionary, and they're called to be at the house. Right. Like, those are two different people who probably ain't supposed to be together. Like, think long term and not just, I really want to get it together. I really want to smash.
Yes.
This year. So, getting married now.
This year. Oh, I wasn't ready. It's just like the word says in 1 Samuel 6, I believe. I did not write that part down. Sorry. It says, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And just like Saritha says, that person, you know, may have a heart and be like, God told me that in 5 years I'm going to be living in Africa. And you'd be like, wait, what?
Right.
I'm very close to my family. My family's American. Okay. And so asking questions is key. Having a conversation with the person, that helps you to assess the fruit. It helps you to get to understand that person's heart. Y'all, picking a spouse is a major, major life decision. And we can't be lazy or loose about the way that we check that box. Like, we have to really seriously vet that person. And even if you've been dating for a while, get comfortable asking uncomfortable questions. When's the last time you checked your credit report? Do you know what your credit score is? Do you know how much debt you have? How much debt do you have? I mean, even if they don't tell you the number, but I'm saying if you're with somebody and you're dating and you're intending to be married, I'm not saying the conversations are just going to be all smiles and LOLs, but get comfortable having these kinds of conversations, because if you try to have a conversation with someone about money and he or she is very cagey, that may be a red flag. Not necessarily that you have to leave the person, but that may be something that you need to deal with accountability or whatever it is that you choose. Or you might be having a conversation with this person and y'all been, seeing each other for a smooth 2 months and you find out they got $300,000 in debt. I am saying, run. But I'm saying, you ask questions.
Yes, and my story about people who are unequally yoked come from the Bible, because yes, I ain't got no personal life experience right now.
Sorry if I put you outside.
It's fine. I got you, though. My two people that I think about, because one definitely hooked up with an unbeliever, and one got told not to and did it anyway. Okay, ooh. So we got Samson. Y'all know about homie. He had a calling on his life. He was a judge of Israel and still managed to get himself all types of entwined with Delilah. And Delilah was the key to him messing up, guys, and the reason that he didn't get to fulfill everything that he was supposed to do. Literally plotted to take this dude out.
And what's funny is he was so blinded by whatever he was feeling for her that he didn't realize she legit, tried to set him up a smooth, three times?
Three, four times. Many times.
And he was just...
You think it was a game? When did you keep letting this happen? And you woke up every time and saw she had done that thing to you and was like, oh, no, it's fine. I'm going to tell her the real secret because she keep bothering me.
Yes. What? Very short version. Y'all know Samson was super strong. Delilah was like, what takes your strength away? Because her people were like, yo, you got to find out how we can take this dude down. So she would go to him and be like, what makes you so strong? And he was like, well, if you tie these ropes around me, then I won't be strong anymore. And then he would wake up in the morning and the ropes would be tied around him. And he'll just snap them off. And she'd be like, dang, he played me. And she'll come back and she asked him the same question repeatedly. He gave her different answers every time. She did everything that he said to take his strength away. And then eventually, he still told her the truth.
See, I feel like he deserved to get caught. I didn't even feel bad for Samson after a while. I was like, bruh, you did this to yourself. You knew what she was.
Exactly. And, it was clear, from just reading the text that, he was enamored with her. And she literally changed the whole trajectory of his life.
Right.
He was captured. They gouged out his eyes. It was not a game.
It was real rude. And then Solomon. Okay, y'all. He was a king of Israel. He was the son of David. He should have known from David's life to not be messing around with these girls. But he married so many women. And then had a bunch of concubines on the side. And they told him not to do so because Israel had a law to not be married to people who were not also children of Israel, aka Jews. They weren't Jews yet.
It was coming.
But we weren't supposed to do that because they knew that it would turn his head from God. But because he got all these women and had all their gods, it turned his head away from the true Lord and Savior. And then that's the whole reason that Israel is the way it is now, is that there was the king, the whole promise was disheveled and messed up.
Disheveled. I love that word.
You said enamored. I get to say disheveled.
Yes.
Things were messed up, guys. Changed the trajectory of Israel itself because the king couldn't keep it together and do what he was told. This is all in coming from being yoked to people who they were not supposed to be yoked to. And it's a big deal, as you can tell.
Because the thing is, when the person that you're with has their eyes on God, then even if you're having a weak moment or a weak day or whatever the situation may be, they will always steer you back to the Word, because the Word is their equalizer. But if they are not somebody that's submitted to God, then they're likely to steer you. Well, they're not going to drive you to the Word, because they don't know the Word.
Right.
So then whenever you're going through something, then they're not going to point you back to the Word for you. Like, hey, girl, I know I'm not really rocking with that, but I know you know about this Jesus life. So 2 Timothy, you'd be like, wait, did you secretly get saved to advise me? That's not how it works. He's going to be like, I don't know, man. So, you know, you sound like you just need a drink or something. And I'm dead serious.
Mm-hmm.
Same way with friends. Hashtag God Squad. And, you know, but if they're submitted to God, they're always going to drive you back to the Word. And because the Holy Spirit is amazing, then sometimes the Holy Spirit will even speak things that you need to hear to that person for them to speak it to you, and vice versa. And so there's a lot of room for God to work in that relationship. But a very wise friend once told me that if that person isn't submitted to the Holy Spirit, then they can't hear nothing. So the stuff that you might need to hear, or, you know, the instructions that God could be imparting for your benefit to that person, it's dead air, girl.
Mm-hmm.
and honestly, when she told me that, that's actually what made me, that was the one moment, that one thing that made me break up with that person.
For sure, y'all, because literally the next time I talked to her, she was like, so I'm single.
That literally was, she told me this on Friday night.
She broke up.
He called me Saturday morning, and I was like, no, I can't. No, he actually came over and was like, you know, trying to surprise me, was like, you know, come with me. And I was like, I can't go. He's like, what's wrong? You sick? And I was like, we breaking up. And it was, you know, it was tough. I could barely get the words out and stuff like that. But just knowing that, wait, for as much as I hear from God, you ain't hear nothing? Nothing? Me and God talk all day. I was like, oh, no, I can't do that. So, you know, again, I'm sharing that because if that helps one person, you know, we're not shunning people. We're not saying don't love people. But what the Word says about being unequally yoked is they're saying that you cannot partner, join your life and join your resources and all of that stuff to someone because, hey, say you like to tithe and they bought that curse life. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, it can get very, very difficult, and it doesn't, it's extremely hard. I don't even know anybody. I don't know a single person, and I know a lot of people who's been like, yeah, this actually worked out well. Even if they're happy, there's a sore spot. There's a sore spot in there somewhere. And, you know, I want all of what God has for me. I want the fullness of it. I don't want to be in his permissible will. I want to be in his perfect will. And that's something that we're probably going to talk about another time, because I know that some of y'all are like, where?
Right. Y'all ain't with that wisdom, y'all.
But yeah, but we're going to talk about that. So, at the end of the day.
Yes.
Choosing a spouse is a huge decision, and a huge contributor to making sure that we make the right decision is to rely on the wisdom of the Word. Read the Bible, know what the Word has to say, do it, and trust that it will benefit you, because just like Saritha said earlier, the command, well, it's not a commandment, but you know what I mean, the call to be equally yoked is for our protection. So trust that God is guiding us and protecting us, and just say, you know what? I may not get it, but if the Word says it, I.
Mm-hmm. And on that note, we're going to pray it out, guys.
Amen.
We really hope this has blessed you, helped you, that you got some good information, that you guys start a conversation with the people around you, with your single friends, even with your married friends. Ask them what's up, you know, how they are making it through, and, you know, the benefits of being equally yoked.
Wait, one last thing. If you if you want to know questions to ask, if you're listening and you're like, well, I hear you talking about how to vet someone, but I'm not really sure what questions to ask, please, you can hit us up on Twitter at clean_ears, and you can slide in the DMs if you're not comfortable being on the top in the feed. That's totally okay. But if you reach out, I will tweet you back with questions, because it's necessary, and we want to do everything we can to help.
Yay! All right. Yeah. So, God, thank you so much again for your word. Thank you for giving us all of this life experience and information to share with your people, because we truly want to have marriages and relationships that honor you. We pray that we are all able to have your perfect will for us as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Guys, we have been spending all of this time talking about Bay and all things Bay related. Mm-hmm. And so our game for today is Laid to Rest, Couples Edition.
Bam. Because y'all know we have something to say.
Things that we would like to see laid to rest. I don't even know how to do this because I feel like there are so many.
You are right.
I legit don't know where to begin. So I'm just going to jump in and yeah. So what I would like to see laid to rest is these relationship announcements on social media. I guess for me, I'm trying to personally understand, and I would love an answer because this is a real question. I would like to know that when we announce that we are in relationships, who is that for? Because I feel like the people who are in my circle and they know me, obviously they'll know who I'm with. And for anybody else who doesn't know me, I don't really think about what they think about. And so I genuinely would like to lay that to rest. It'd be like, yes, we had one successful coffee and we would like to tell the world. And I'm just, it just feels like, I always feel a little anxious when I see those because I'm like, oh no, it's like when somebody comes out the house with a two-week-old baby, you're like, put that baby in the house. That's how I feel. I'm like, get that baby in the house. Cover that baby up. That's how I feel. I would like to lay that to rest, but I would also like some answers. So please, somebody.
Oh my gosh. Somebody tweet us.
Tweet me. Okay, I'm back. Somebody please tweet me at clean_ears. Because I really need to know. Thank you. Sarita, what are you laying to rest? I need to compose myself.
Y'all, I am laying all of it to rest. As the, like,
super thing.
Everything. I don't want to hear none about your relationship. That's where I'm at right now.
Oh my gosh.
And this is the reality of my situation. Because y'all are doing the absolute most. Like, you, those of you in relationships, those of you who are married, I feel like y'all are real quick to be, like, pulling your boo out. Everywhere, like, y'all just everywhere. Can't do nothing by yourselves no more. Y'all can't even take a picture without tagging them. They're not even in the room. They ain't present for this moment, but they are tagged in this picture. Y'all can't even talk without bringing them in. Y'all decided to bring whole new ministries up. They ain't even called to it. You just got a name and a face. I don't want to be part of any of this. I am done. I am tired. I am single and fine with it. Why can't y'all be in a relationship and quiet about it? Like, I just need y'all to chill out. I know you're happy, and I know some of y'all are having sex and really enjoying your married sexy time, but I don't want to be part of none of it. So leave me out of it.
I think that sometimes we, yes, guys, this is probably going to be a tag team situation because that's how we feel today. But I think that sometimes people don't realize that when they're posting things on social media, we're posting that out for people to read. You know, we're never putting content out into space, but it's actually being presented to someone, curated for someone's view. And I agree, just to add even a little bit of color to what Sarita was saying, it makes dating nowadays hard because it's so culturally acceptable to do all of this stuff and to make a ministry out of your successful coffee and to and to do all of these things publicly with your significant other. And it is becoming a standard, and we don't want that because it's too much. And it's just too much.
And I legit feel like for so many people, it's, you are not allowed to do anything by yourself anymore. It's so weird. Some couples are like attached at the hip. One is always where the other one is. Y'all always doing stuff together. I get it. You want time together. But it seems like, according to your media and when I see you in person, your whole dialogue has become about the other person and what that interaction is. And I'm not involved. I'm not part of your coupledom. And so it's really weird for me to try to have a conversation with you and it's all about you and boo. That's just unnecessary.
You're losing friends. I mean, it's hard, and the overall dynamic has changed, I think, because of social media. And I'm not saying that to comfort social media, but what I'm saying is that when we make everything so public and it seems to be a big to-do, the relationship reveals seem to be a big to-do, like it's a thing, whether or not you know, I don't know if you've been exposed to it or not, but it's a thing. And then also just the this is my one that the Lord has sent, and then your social media is nothing but, it's nothing but usies and all of that stuff. It's in some circles, in some communities, it's almost a standard, and people again look at you sideways if you're not doing it. And two, it just seems, I'm always circling back to like, who is this for? Mm-hmm. Now, granted, if you're living life and you're doing something special and you have a date night or a vacation or something like that, I'm not saying no pics and that I never want to see you guys together. Just change your name quietly and move on with your life at all. I'm coming from a place of somebody who genuinely does want to celebrate your love, and I'm excited for you and I'm happy for you. But I just feel like it's too much. I feel like I'm all up in everything that you do all day, every day. Why is everything curated? Why are you not in the moment? Why are we not just dating each other? Mm-hmm. Why can't y'all just be together?
Right.
Yeah, so we would like to lay all of that, however you want to summarize that, all that, to rest.
So basically, you all need to take social media breaks. Thanks. Bye. Man.
Or I'm going to take breaks for you. Later luck.
Now that we've gotten that all out, it's time for What's in Your Headphones.
Happy times. Happy, happy Georgia.
We're back. Woo. All right. So you guys know what it is. It's time for us to tell you what's in our headphones. And Simone, do you want to start us off?
Oh my goodness, I was unprepared, but I'm also so ready. What's in my headphones? As promised, the song off of Belief's new album is called Protect Your Life.
I've been a father since I was a toddler. I would teach the mother, father, how to reach the father. I would ether. Never bother my mother. See, I'm my brother's keeper. If you dig in what I'm saying, we could go deeper.
I dig it.
You dig it.
I dig it.
You dig it. I dug it. We're good, so yo, I hope you love it. I love it. I got no upper, but none above it. I focus on what the funk is. Don't know it's so fierce. I'm sipping Tylenol and chewing on flying locusts. Got locomotives. I'm burning like the alcohol did when we.
First of all, this felt very Tribe Called Quest award tourish to me. It just gave me Tribe vibes, and I was like, this has to be my song, because I just love the way that he was rhyming different ways. I love the music. The song is really chill, and if you listen to it, the music on it is actually, it's very simple, but it's nice. Plus, it's an all-important message. Protect your life. Don't be out here acting crazy, talking crazy, doing crazy stuff. Like, protect your life. That's for everyone.
That's for everybody.
Yes. Saritha, what's in your headphones?
What's in my headphones is Powin' Up, The Spirit of Peer Pressure by Jared Sanders featuring She Won't.
Keep that lean up in my car, smoking, I'm going up. Keep that lean up in my car, smoking, I'm going up. Keep that lean up in my car.
Silence. I got a visionary, listen clear, pump my sirens. I keep peace in me, they pump they violence. I keep close when they be far like islands. Think about it, dream about the coast. God is with me, why I do the most. I can talk about everything I got, but you greater than, why should I could boast? Ooh, but the feeling's so right. Maybe I should get away and live a test drive. No way, Jose. New life, new beginnings, no breaks.
You heard that correctly. It's called Pwn Up. This song right here, guys. It is all of the UGK, all of the Dirty South. You will, once it starts, you'll be like, is this Christian?
I know I was. I was like, hold up.
But it's so good, and it really is talking about peer pressure. It's talking about how you get pressured into certain things at certain times in your life, especially certain music you may be listening to, the people that you hang out with. And this is from his testimony, so you definitely want to check it out. Check out the entire album. It's called Nobody Famous. It is out now. Again, it's Jared Sanders.
I got some UGK songs in my testimony. So this is the part where we break up.
Oh, dang. It's not you, it's us.
Well, really, it's our jobs. Like, you got to go to bed.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. So, guys, before we slide up out of here, we got to do a couple things, as we always do. First, we want to give thanks to Courtney P.
Yay.
Over here drawing a whole solar system. I'm like, I can write my name in cursive. That's where my art ends.
I cannot, so black letters for the win.
Hey.
Oh, goodness. We also want to give a huge thanks to Abiding, a.k.a. Dad, a.k.a. Daryl, our editor-in-chief of The Collective. Collective has been popping lately. You guys have been checking it out. We truly appreciate it. We love every single one of y'all who are reading the works of The Collective.
Yes, and please be sure when you're doing it to like and comment. Show our writers some love because they do an awesome job for us.
Yes, and we have new blog pieces coming. They're on the way. Biden probably has more information than we do.
Yeah. We've had a lot of guest writers lately, so thank you guys. Special shout out to Leanne Blackwood. She's been showing us a lot of love on her site as well.
Mm-hmm.
And she's written a piece for us too, so guys, be sure to slide on over there and check that out.
Mm-hmm.
And over there would be, because you probably want to know where that is, it's on our website, www.cleanearshow.com, where you can find our podcast,
mm-hmm.
our playlist,
yes.
our prayer corner.
Mm-hmm.
Also, The Collective is still there. And you can access our YouTube page and our social media pages as well. So everything is there. It's a great one-stop shop to get plugged into all of our content.
Yes. So while you're doing that, show us some love. Any and everywhere that you find us.
Yes.
And until next time,
have a good time.
Peace.
Yup. Yeah.